Following podcast contains profanity and is unsuitable for a child-friendly or work environment.
Would you like to know more? Would you like to know more?
Welcome to the Warmaster Podcast, episode 154, Paul and Barry.
Hello, listeners. How are you all?
Oh, they're all brilliant. I'm trying to see my face. All I can see is your face, but that's probably me.
That's it. Well, I can see your face, unfortunately.
Oh, well. Hopefully Zoom is recording both faces.
There's one way to find out.
What is that way? Stop recording.
Stop recording and check it, or record it and then deal with it.
Deal with it. Right. Okay. So, what are we going to talk about today? A bit of nothing.
So we're probably recording two episodes on the trot. This one will just be a general chat, and we'll include Warmaster things, hopefully. And then the second one, and then one afterwards, we'll do is demons. So there we go. Two for one.
If we get them both done tonight, that'd be great. That'll free up some time.
That's our plan. Yeah.
That's our plan. Okay, so are we going to talk about what you've been doing? I can see what you are doing now, as always. You're fucking painting.
Painting cuirassiers, I think. Cuirassiers, French heavy horse.
How much?
Napoleonic.
How much bling are they wearing?
Quite a bit of bling. Quite well. Everybody wears a bit of bling in this fair. So this is the one I've finished, and they're quite blingy. I looked at historical images of what there is, and I've mostly matched it, though of course obviously maybe the models aren't even designed wearing as much bling as that, but these are Perry miniatures, so they're better quality plastics. I've found smarter looking things, and they are my unit of French, you know, like heavy horse. What made them a cuirassier, if I'm pronouncing that right, or maybe it's the breastplate they wear is that's what its name was. It was a cuirass, you know, and supposedly it could stop a musket ball at a certain range, but actually
3 miles.
Actually it didn't, and it protected them from sword cuts, and they definitely used to bully light cavalry a lot. There you go. That's what I'm painting right now.
Nice.
That is my current major project on the go.
You had a little minor project, didn't you, in the week?
I did. So we're talking about what I've been up to. So,
well, you could talk about the ogres you painted.
Exactly. So the way I'm structuring my painting right now is I have major projects and minor projects. A major project will take multiple painting sessions, and you know, and it's a long-term thing. So in this case it is a 28 mil Napoleonic army, which I am fairly close to finishing now. I've only got two units of infantry left to do and a unit of small chasseurs à cheval, I want to finish these cuirassiers to, you know, maybe I'll get them done tonight, I don't know. They need the, you know, it depends how long the ink takes. And then when they're done, like, so I take breaks in between the regiments for this one, and I look to do a minor project. And the last minor project I did was your ogres, in fact. Barry wanted me to do some extra units for his ogre army in the way that I've painted the rest of his ogres. So I knocked them out. I actually knocked them out in two sessions, actually. Yeah, or two plus one, really, as one build and clean up and around. But I did them in two evenings. But why? So interestingly, why do you give me those stuff to do, Barry? Because they're not your optimal build. I was wondering why am I doing these units for you?
Let's say the official reason is because
you want some photos.
Well, yeah, that would be nice to add to the photo collection. Yep. But we're toying with rules changes at the moment. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Not me in particular, but other people are looking at bits of the ogre list. I think Ian's quite keen on kind of, I don't know how well you are versed in what's going on the forums and stuff.
Oh, I've been voting. Yeah, there is a lot to read on there at the moment.
So those two units, the Yetis and the Gorgias, didn't really have any place in any kind of list, let alone a tournament list.
Where you felt, but fair enough. Yeah, okay.
So yeah, and if we're going to play test them, I actually have to have the models at some point, don't I? So
yeah, totally. I mean,
only one unit of each. I'm not going like a brigade of each or anything stupid.
Yeah, I got it. So what you should do now is now you've got something of everything like done, finished by me. You should get some nice photos done of them and put them onto your website. Then
My photo skills are not Chris Orr, but I will do what I can.
So. Yeah, except well, they're better than mine because you even have a you probably have equipment for a start.
I have some very, very low grade equipment, but I have a very small light box and I have to kind of do it. It's better on my phone than it is with my camera now. So, yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, but I can do it. And of course I will do it, sir. And you can post them on the podcast Facebook page, maybe.
Yeah, cool. And then I've also, the other stuff you want me to do is a demon army of yours to do, and you want them to, and you seem to have given me a brief that for me to do them in the same way that I did my demons. So that's, that's very easy to do.
Do you need to do black spines on yours?
Yeah, spikes, yeah, I do. Okay. I mean, when I tackle them, I think it's a minor project. One minor project is just to build them all and prep them, and then another minor project will be to paint them. But when I've done the build, I'll ask you in particular questions over what exactly you want me to, how you want me to paint them, etc.
But I did send you some test models that I've done.
So. Yeah, exactly. But like, I can either copy them or do something, or mirror them in my own way, etc. But it's the beauty of contrast paint is that actually one painter should be able to do exactly the same as the other because the paint is the work.
Paint does a lot of the work. You're right there, sir.
Yeah. So that's cool. But I've got loads of minor like other things to do. It's like I've got
You certainly got a big NID project to paint, haven't you?
I do. Yeah, I do. Now that they're all done, so that'll be fun.
That is a lot of little gaunts, mate, that you've got to paint and gene stealers and stuff.
Yeah. Obviously, I'll do them as a concept army. Those guys. I'm more interested in you printing off those bases I want for to do those World Eaters.
I'm going to talk about 3D printing in a bit, but I have now a PLA printer, which is the old-fashioned one that's been around for donkey's years. They're just workhorses. You just leave them running for days at a time, and they just churn away. Yep. And the problem is now I'm running out of space in my my to-do list for the printer, because I'm printing things that take so long that I it's kind of constantly running. I can't, there's more work for it to do than there is time in the world for it to do it. I could see how people would get two of these printers quite quickly, because the resin ones are different. You can knock stuff out in a few hours, and because of the cleanup, which is a real fucking pain in the ass, it kind of dissuades you from just bashing two or three prints out a day. Whereas my other printer is like on 24/7, never stops.
Wow.
When the print finishes, you just rip it off the bed, press go, and it's doing another one.
Wow. There you go.
Yeah. So no PPE needed, no cleanup needed, just bang, next.
Okay. So, but if they've been around for ages, how comes they're more common then?
I don't know about more common. They have limitations in how much resolution they can put out, how detailed.
How detailed they can go. Yeah.
Yeah. So, which is where these resin printers have taken it to another level.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough.
Mm-hmm. But horses for courses. Mm-hmm. Yep. So yeah, it's in the list is basically what I'm saying. I don't know what number it is on the list because I've already printed one set off for you.
Yeah, no, exactly. But it's one set is lovely. And then when it's like, okay, that looks cool. I need them for an army, don't I? So what they are is, so I've in one of my projects to do is a World Eaters, epic Armageddon army, and how will I base them? Well, I could base them the same way I've been doing, other epic stuff, or I could find, but because they're chaos and they won't intermingle at all with what I've already done, I was like, oh, it'd be cool to do some other, if I found some other ways to base them. And then I found this very nicely like look of imperial like eagled ruins.
Can we share it so people can see it?
I haven't got it.
I've got it.
Well, yeah, but yes, you can. Yeah. By all means, you can share it.
So you should be able to see it now.
Yes, there you go. Perfect. So that baby there, that's all those little indents are where the infantry will stand. And you don't obviously you'd never form them up like that in a game to make the overall picture mosaic. But it would
I thought
look
what you were going to do. I thought it was like, what was that? Where you kind of they all joined together, the Voltron, where they all joined together and form Thundercats or something. You go there. You're not going to make them join together when they go into fight.
You can do for displays purposes, but it's very unlikely that you'll. How many bases there? 13. Well, units won't even come in 13 like stands, will they? Exactly. So, but it will create a cool look on the table.
And there's another one, so it's 14 in total because there's a different stand. So you've got 14 different stands.
Yeah.
And you can see a bit of stringing on this that just wipes off, and it's nowhere near as it doesn't look as obvious as that because these are tiny fucking bases.
Yeah, they're tiny bases. And what I've asked the guy that put these up on Things Universe, I then messaged him and said, "Oh, can you do some vehicle ones for me? Because I could always stick some of those bases together to make like and fill in putty and fill in the gaps to make them." Make them flat, isn't filled up for base, because I like to base vehicles in Epic. And he said, "Oh well, I'll design some more then, because you've asked me to." So it's like, "Yes, I have asked you to." So like, crack on, sir.
So how many of those do you need then?
Oh, it's not a big army; it's Space Marines. I doubt more than 30 bases. Yeah.
Okay, so all right, three runs.
Three runs will cover it.
So we've already done one run. Okay, that's not too... I think that you can get a level of... which I might try. You can get a level of detail that's much higher than that, but it takes three times longer to print.
Oh, you don't need to, Barry. That level of detail is fine.
Okay, so that's probably about a five-hour print, and the other version would be like a 15, 18-hour print.
Oh, you don't need to do that. You can keep them as five-hour because they'll... it's just because they give an overall look from, that distance perfectly.
Because I've been playing some Memoir 44 as part of my 10-year-old kid's school day.
Uh-huh.
And I've been printing off movement trays for their little infantry and tanks and stuff.
How is it his school day? What?
Because I'm the fucking teacher, so I say what his school day is. So
his school day is to play a game with you?
No, at the end of the school day is to play...
I see. Right, okay.
We play a bit of a game.
Okay, yep.
And so I've been printing off this printer. I go upstairs, fire it off, three, 4 hours later, out comes 10 bases. And then you do that a couple of times, you've got enough bases to, so your little men move around on a little movement tray rather there than a little, it's beautiful.
There you go. Yeah.
You would never realize how much stuff you needed until you had a 3D printer.
Then
you can print everything. Just like, print that.
Well, that's the problem, Barry. It's just like, it never stops. It will never stop with you.
No, I'll need another house to store the printage.
Exactly. It's just like, never mind. That's cool. So, that's what I've been doing painting wise. I move on to my next topic.
Is it more? Are you going off what you've been doing into something different?
This one, I just can't believe it. People like controversial statements, don't they, on podcasts? Because that's why you listen to them, et cetera, et cetera. But it's like, well, not controversy, but it's just like my opinion. Yeah, strong opinions.
Are you going to be talking about Age of Sigmar now or something?
Yes, I am.
Can I share some pictures while you do it then? Or do you need to see your phone?
Of course you can. Yeah. Of course you can share pictures.
Because this was the one, I think, I mean, the back was already broken of my camel, but I think this was the one that kind of tipped me beyond the point of no return.
Okay, so
do you know how much that miniature is, by the way, Paul?
£105. I can read it in the corner.
£105.
Yes, I know. Yeah.
You could get an entire bolt action army and the rule book.
More than the army, you could get
and the rule book and everything.
Yeah. I found some grenadiers for £4. Don't worry about that. That's a lot of money for a piece of shit.
So what's your story of Age of Sigmar? I'll leave this on while we're talking.
So I read White Dwarf. I've always read it. Like, I enjoy reading it. And it features mostly 40K and AOS and game systems I don't play. But I just like reading it. It's well done. I always enjoy reading the design concepts on things. And so this month's White Dwarf...
Is that a giant?
That is a giant. It's a big giant. So this month's white
dwarf. Chaos giant?
No, well, they're anybody giant, aren't they? I'll show you a picture of
anybody them. Giant?
Anybody giant, yeah.
High elf giant?
Yes, it's high elf giant if they want
dwarf
to.
Dwarf giant?
So there you go. Like, if you can see there. You can go up.
Hey, is he now? What is that?
So he's quite big.
How big is he? Hang on, Paul. Paul, go back. Go back. Go back. Is that the plastic giant or the old fashioned giant?
The plastic giant.
The plastic giant was massive.
Yeah, so that's the plastic giant. And
that was a big lad.
Yeah, so he's a lot bigger. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So plastic giant, 40 quid. This another 105 quid, is it?
Probably. Yeah, like they're 7 inches tall. So anyway, in that white dwarf article, it has the design notes of like okay, so we've decided we had to go and create, just because we can, a uber giant. They're called mega gargants, you know, because they can't use the word giant because that's AOS, like that's whatever. Anyway, so they design this thing and they're like, how do you make such a, like, how do you make it like work in our game system at all? And they explain the rules behind it, etc. And so I messaged then a friend of mine and said, oh, like, who does play, or, you know, AOS, you know, and plays it competitively, you know, like, and I said, like, okay, so what do you think? And I was asking him, like, what do you think to these, like, guys? Are they a case of, just because GW could have invented it, should they have done? Like, you know, is that gone too far? Are they ridiculous? And his answers back were, they're not a developed army, really, but yeah, I haven't seen them yet on the table, but also they're not meta. And I asked him, well, what is the meta? You know, I don't know. And he said, oh, well, the meta is shooting lists, like gunline armies. And I'm like, oh, okay, you know,
sounds fun.
So, no, it doesn't sound fun. Yeah, like, because ultimately, who likes playing Tau in 40k? You know, like,
Tau versus God. What a lovely game.
Wow, great, isn't it? You know, like, but this is meant to be swords and boards. This is meant to be, you know, fantasy. You know, like, so, okay. Yeah, that's what the meta is. And it's like, oh, okay, so, like, your floaty dwarves are, like, are a good army. Yeah, etc. And I was like, oh, right, so they don't, they don't shoot much at all. They can throw some rocks, but they don't shoot much. So they're not a factor, you know, like in the hardcore players. And I was like, all right. And so I was like, and then I was thinking about it. It's like, okay, so in AOS, if you have a unit of shooters, like shooting, so say you're wood elf archers or something like that, you know, like traditional. So in Warhammer, wood elf archers were good, yeah? They were meant to be quite good. Yeah.
Hitting on threes.
Yeah. So you got your unit of that, and it's like, right, and they can shoot, you know, wherever they want to shoot. Okay. So what happens if they get into combat? Now, is in, like, are they stopped from shooting? And they're like, no, they're not. They are. They have. So they can do both two things. If they're then engaged in melee, they can hit the unit there in melee with melee attacks, and shoot them as well. So they get to do two things.
So why doesn't everybody have a gun?
Well, exactly. And I was like, hang on, that's a buff. So if your unit of you used to be able to shoot out of combat. You can't, you know, that changed to, no, you have to target the thing you're in combat with. But you also get to strike them as well. And no, I'm guessing your equivalent, like your wood elf archers, wouldn't be very good in close combat. Okay, but there's an attack they can't make normally because they're shooting. Like, so they get into melee and they're like, okay, my turn to hit you. Yeah, because that's the way the game goes. You take it in turns to unit attack. So if they haven't been killed out, you get, okay, I'm going to do my melee attacks and I'm going to shoot into combat as well with the unit that I'm engaged with at no penalties. They're like, just as effective. And you're like, my God, that's shit mechanics.
That doesn't make any sense. So in order to deal with shooters, normally you tie them up in melee.
Yeah, exactly. And
that just makes them better because then now they get melee and shoot.
You've given them probably not a very strong attack, but you've given them something on top of it. Yeah.
But at least you get to do something against them, I guess, is the answer.
Well, yeah,
otherwise,
I mean,
you're just going to die anyway.
Well, exactly. I guess the idea is that you want to make sure you've hit them first. But still, it's like, oh my God, that's awful. Like, that's really bad. And it's like, so you just, like, why would you take anything else? Than like the most lethal shooters you can. Yeah, I mean, at some point you're going to have to hold an objective. But if you wipe the enemy out, does it matter? Like, you
know, I don't know. Maybe it doesn't matter if you die as long as you held an objective for a minute in the game. I don't know.
I was just like...
I don't play it. I haven't played the game.
Exactly. I wouldn't want to be too critical because I'm sure there are people like who would say, oh, well, you know, there's some skill in this or whatever. But it is just like, hang on a sec. That doesn't sound very good at all to me. You know, and it's just, Yeah, the thought of that.
There's a War Master WhatsApp group that I don't pay any attention to. I turn off notifications, and it's only when somebody pings me that I get summoned. And I think somebody summons me to look at these idiots.
Mm-hmm.
So you see on the screen. Now, I thought, because there's a potato up here, I didn't know what this was about. Anyway, but I
that's
thought...
That's because the photos got leaked.
Oh, right, okay, whatevs. But I thought that they were taking the piss when they said they were kangaroo cavalry, but they literally are kangaroo cavalry.
I
listened to this video here in the middle, yep. And they were talking about kangaroo cavalry in the fucking video.
Yeah.
And you go like, either you're so self-deprecating now that you take the piss out of yourself before you give anybody else a chance to, or they really are kangaroos.
Well, they look, that's like a cow, isn't it? Or like, they look similar to kangaroos. Again, they kind of share a design with several creatures.
Are they the same? They're not the same creature, are they?
That's a different creature, isn't it? I think that's a different creature. I don't know, actually, to be honest. Like,
but what?
Yeah. I mean, it's the high elf. It's not high elves, are they? They're Luminarchs of Hush or whatever they are. Like, they're high elves, but like they really are. I think some people would just love them, and some people would hate them. You know, their designs. They are a bit. I don't know. Not for me.
So, one thing that's kind of winds me up a little bit is like, all these plastic models, they have to be super dynamic.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
Why on earth is there's like one like, point of the contact one, on
the one in the middle? The one in the middle is balancing on a rock. Yeah, like, that's
look,
it.
The one point of contact here. I mean, eventually that's going to break, and you're going to end up pinning that piece of shit. And, I mean, they're just too dynamic. There's only ever got a guy, one guy's, there's only got one foot on the ground. And why have they got silly big fucking horned hats?
Well, because that's kind of their thing, isn't it? Like, well, you know.
Is it?
Well, in AOS, this faction, they like a hat.
But the hats are bigger than Chaos Dwarf hats now, mate. Have you seen how big their hats are?
Yeah, their hats are pretty big. Yeah, pretty epic hats.
Surely, the hats look quite heavy. I mean, it's probably elven magic lightweight armor, but they look quite cumbersome and heavy. Light cavalry.
Remember, you're talking about a system that has sea creatures that can fly, you know, because of magic. So this is high fantasy.
These were the you know the fellows you're painting now.
Yeah.
Is the equivalent of them in the fantasy world.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah.
They've got everything going on. They've got bling all over the fucking place.
Yeah. It's not. It's not my taste, personally. It's just like, as I've gone on like record before saying, it's like, I would want to see what they did with Skaven. Like, are they, as in not just, here's a different character model, as in like, if they redid Skaven to fit this setting.
You don't want them to do it, man.
That would make me look at it, but I mean, you know, from what I understand of the game system, it's just trash. Like, you know, where's the enjoyment in this? Like, yeah,
making these models and looking at them, like, they're all sad. All the beasts that are riding look sad. Can they have smiley kangaroos?
Well, they're about to go get slaughtered, aren't they, by something, aren't they?
The elf lives 1,000 years, the kangaroo lives about an afternoon, yeah? Like, the 20 minutes.
They're just being ridden into combat with something horrible and chaosy, and it's like, oh, I don't want to go. Like, look, they're hurt. For a start, it's like, oh, I really don't want to do this. Like, I got kids at home. Like,
anyway, so I mean, Dungeons and Dragons has kind of gone the same way now. With you got like lots of Dragonborn this, and you can be fairies and all kinds of silly. Yeah. I mean, this kind of fantasy leaves me dead.
Is that the right term? High fantasy, isn't it?
What does that mean?
Well, high fantasy, I guess it's fantasy not rooted in any form of reality. Like,
dwarves and elves aren't in reality, man. But
no, but like if they got dirty, they had dirt on them. If you follow, like they had machines that dwarves were like had a cannon that was like rooted in some idea of technology, isn't it? Of usable technology. Yeah, except their technology got so advanced that it almost seemed like magic. I guess. Yeah. I mean, it's...
So look at this vampire here. Everything's always too spindly. And everything's too dynamic. It's just like, it's like a nightmare.
I mean, the bats are interesting, definitely.
Interesting how?
Well, just where they stick them on, how they get... Like well, that
it'll
going
come
on.
Like that on the spree, won't it? It'll have a head with all that shit attached.
But if you keep scrolling, if this shows the same post of the vampire in Warhammer Underworlds, they're doing. Oh no, it doesn't have that post, does it? There, they yeah. So they, as well as doing a vampire for Age of Sigma, which you can see right there, they're doing a vampire warband for Underworlds, and the feature vampire for that looks fantastic.
Right.
Yeah. So it's not all it's CGWs. Like they'll all be good quality, but sometimes their designs are a bit okay. Yeah. To me it's like just because they can should they? So those huge giants like
mega gargons.
Like yeah, it's like okay, so they can be featured in any army, and they're a huge model. Should they be? As in, like, is this a case of where the problem I always had with War Machine of colossals? As in, like, colossals.
Oh, they were nightmare.
Yeah, gargantuans. No, exactly. But the point is like they if they got the balance wrong, like in Sigmar's list, they were always a case of you should always be taking them or two.
Two.
You know, yeah.
And that was your entire list. Two of them.
And that's it. And that's, you know, that's your list. It's like almost all your points are spent on two huge models, which are very good for their points. And then it doesn't really, you know, plug in the Warcaster you want, plug in the extra, the spare after you've bought the tea tray, like, you know, the spare other few points you have left. And then that's it gone wrong. Like, that's list design.
Or the other way, nobody touched them, which was the vast majority of the other ones.
Yeah, or they weren't good for their points and thus never used. Yeah. But in a game like War Machine, players aren't their hands aren't tied by their own. Like some people like Love the Fluff, for example. They weren't tied, this is a fluffy list. War Machine doesn't have any of that. You know, as in, like, people don't read the fluff. Yeah, that's what I was like interested with talking to this person who actually I know who plays that system. Was just like, look, you can be honest with me. You don't have to be a fanboy every day. Is in like, is this a bad thing?
And surely, if you liked fantasy, and there were people that liked that, surely it would have been better to go to Ninth Age or whatever that game was.
Yeah. Well, I mean, tomorrow. GW does a big release, I don't know how often they are doing them, but they're doing a big feature of like things. So those pictures there were meant to be in that, meant to be shown off tomorrow, but they got leaked early. People think they're going to announce drop a new game system, you know, like on this preview. And it might be the Warhammer the Old World one they've already talked about. But
no, they've said that's a while off. They said that was Forge World. But
yeah,
that
yeah.
could mean it's out tomorrow. No, yeah. You know, they do it. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It could be. But we shall see. I mean, there's loads. I mean, there might be no new game system. It might be actually a red herring, or it might be a board game, or it could be even Battlefleet Gothic. You know?
Did I see Epic or something in the corner?
Yeah, yeah. So people, I mean, like, obviously people like, will it be this? Will it be that? I want this. I want that. Yeah, it might be Epic. You're right. It might be Epic.
6 mil miniatures are weird. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, so, yeah. You know,
they are weird to deal with, the infantry especially. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They're so fucking small.
Yeah, we shall see. I mean, what that I won't get to see it live because I'm at work vaccinating. But I good will
view, save that. We're not going to talk about that. But
yeah, no, I'm just saying. I'm at work tomorrow, and
I won't be watching it because I'm not a fan.
Well, no, you wouldn't even know it was on. You know, like so I'll be interesting to see the highlights of it on a post. You know, when it's done. I mean, they, you know, say like you can't with GW, you can't compete with them in terms of their rate of production, like as in how much stuff they kick out nowadays. And it always is, I mean, is, you might not like the designs, but it's always fantastic quality. Always.
You might not like the price, mate.
Well, yeah, you might not like the price, but it's equally, yeah. So I've been playing, as in I've done some Marvel Crisis Protocol stuff. You know, because that's a game system that, you know, the competitive, like a crowd in down the club will do. And hang on, let's grab one. So there you go. There's Captain America. You know, like,
and he's changed now. He's a black fella.
Yeah, well, Falcon. Anyway, these character packs for that, and they are the model and the rules in there. They're really expensive, this game system. As in, like, yo, they're just as expensive.
Who makes it?
Atomic Miniatures. Never Atomic heard of them. Atomic Game. Well, yeah, they're not big.
Right.
But, you know, they're the ones they've taken, but they have landed FFG's Star Wars license. They're going to carry on Final Fantasy Flight Game, Star Wars stuff.
What Star Wars stuff? What are you talking about?
Speaking well, you know, Star Wars Legion. And X-Wing and
well, find the fantasy of jettison them.
Yes.
When?
Oh, you don't keep up with anything, do you, Barry?
Well, when? I'm in lockdown, mate. I don't go out.
Well, yeah, but you can obviously you must be glued to the internet. Like, so it's yeah. It was what was that like a month ago? Yeah,
I'll have to look into that because I've got some Legion stuff.
Well, yeah. So FFG doesn't have the license anymore. They dropped okay. it. They well, dropped they all their. They dropped all their miniature games.
They didn't do a very good job of them anyway, so I'm not overly stressed. Yeah. Unless people start rebooting and discarding all the old stuff, then I'll get stressed. But that's not the first time we've gone through that, is it?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, Knight Miniatures lost the license for Marvel stuff, didn't they?
Well, I mean, I'm guessing that was pricey. Yeah, it was in an expensive one to hold on to. But yeah, so these Marvel Crisis things, they're just as expensive as GW stuff. It's like Barry, it's like buying characters, like Space Marine characters from GW. It's like, but of course, because they're not the big evil, like it's like, oh, it's almost you can't say that. And it's like, well, I can say that. They're really expensive for what they are.
Well, yeah, I'm sure the license is expensive.
Yeah. And it's like, you can always say, oh, but they've got the rules in them. Yeah, but there isn't a lot of rules in there. Like, as in...
Rules what, in each kit?
So each kit is an expansion. Each character is an expansion of the... Has the rules to play that character within the character pack, yeah. And they tend to do them as two in each set, two in each pack.
No, it's weird, because a couple of people have got into Star Wars Legion recently, haven't they? Like Eric and Dave.
Well, yeah, exactly, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I've been to it for a little while. Oh, I like the game, but oh, we'll see what happens with that. I'm not going to stress too much. Right, I've got the first thing I need to talk about.
Go on, then I'll
finally get to me.
All right. So obviously, recently, money's been very good because I've got two NHS jobs now, so money's no problems. But so what I have
bought
been...
a Ferrari, yeah?
No, like, I wouldn't know what to do with it, Barry.
You've got no pair.
That'd be nice, but no, I've been really buying a lot of painted scenery recently. So I've started, you know, looking on eBay as a habit, and I found a seller on eBay who does some really like. I was like, oh, that does actually look like some nice scenery. So and I wanted to improve the quality of the scenery I had for Middle Earth strategy battle game, and yeah, got something from him. It's fantastic, and I was like, I keep doing this, yeah. You know, and so now I've got a Amon Sul table, completely finished. As in, like, looks. I have set it all up, and it honestly, it looks fucking amazing. You know, like, and you're like, right, That's and it's full of scenery. It's not just a piece. It's like,
where are you storing this then? In the loft?
Up in the loft. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Of course.
Wait till you get
in my bedroom.
Wait till you expand into the loft, and that's what happened to me. It's like, where am I going to put all this stuff?
Totally. So I've got an Ammon saw table. I've gotten a. So I had an Osgiliath table. That was my gaming table for that scenery, but it wasn't finished. And I realized, like, life's too short. I am never going to get round to painting scenery again. It's not going to happen.
I love painting scenery.
That's yeah, you might, but it's like, it's not. I'd rather it's something that somebody else can do for me. You know, like, so I propositioned him. I was like, I'd like, you know, what, because I was starting, because he got. I started getting doing bespoke commissions, as in he like for me, making them for me, because I wanted to can you replicate Ammon's saw? And he was like, oh, and I like to do an Osgiliath table. And I was like, so I sent him my Osgiliath scenery, like, as in boxed it up, all went off to him. So I took, like, set it up and took photos of it. And his idea, he's going to keep that. And in return, he's going to give me a completely finished, like, he was going to copy, you know, do a new range of Osgiliath scenery. And I'm like, bit of a punt. He could just take it, obviously. Like, I can't, there's no, like, you know, if he just keeps this box, that's it. Right. But what, nothing risked, nothing gained. I'm not going to finish it. So off it went. And yeah, and it's like, so I'm going to have a complete, I've started getting pictures of like what it's going to look like. And I'm just like, oh yeah. Oh wow. Yeah, really good. Yeah, so I'm going to have an Osgiliath table. And finally off, and I'm doing myself, because that won't take no painting, it's just spraying, is I'm going to do a Moria table. So, right. you know, because I went to you about, oh, can you print off these dwarf pillars? Remember?
Said, no.
And you said you couldn't do it for a reasonable price.
Yeah.
Yeah, but but someone is doing it for a reasonable price. And, you know, so I've already designed in my head a Moria table where it'll
be... You better hope they don't ruin this game. Now you've got three tables.
I know. They've extended the license out to 2028, so they should be holding on to it for a while. You know, so a table where a slice of it, a diagonal, will be... You know, in the Lord of the Rings, that scene where they go into Balin's tomb? And they run into Balin's tomb, and they have
a cave troll.
They have an encounter there. Well, that by itself can't make a table, because it's got to be 4x4. But if you do it so it's sliced off a corner, a diagonal off a corner, and that is Balin's tomb. So it's got an entrance, one doorway, Balin's tomb, in a triangle look. And the rest of the table is these pillars spaced out, because outside the Chamber of Marzibul is the halls of the Dwaladelph.
Well, it's like, just make Balin's tomb 4x4.
Wouldn't look right. It's too spaced out. And it's like, so then you're gonna have this really cool concept table of these pillars, set of diagonals, obviously, and structured. Like, so and a slice of really nice little narrative scenery in the corner. It'll look great, honestly. And I'm like, and all I need to do is just spray it grey, and it'll, there you go, it's done. Yeah, so that's
a dry brush. Come on, fella. Come on.
Might do.
I might. Big paintbrush. It'll only take 10 minutes.
Yeah, all right. Okay, I'll probably dry brush it then. Yeah. That'll be it. And then that's done. And then my intention is when we get out of this situation we're in.
Well, 2020. No, we're not going to talk about that. Stop talking about it.
But when we get out of it, I'll have club events, and I'll just gaming days of like Middle Earth there, and I'll set up these three tables, and it'll look fantastic. Because life's too short to play on bad scenery, basically. It's too short. Yeah, and
I'll tell you, life's too short to play with bad opponents, I'll tell you.
Well, I'm definitely coming out of this, I'm definitely not going to find, like, I'm not going to play bad opponents again. Be like, nah.
Yeah, like, nah, nah, mate.
Not you. You're like,
come on, man.
Yeah, like, neither of us will enjoy it. You're like,
right, so you're done.
No, not done.
Come on, man.
And also, I've done a bolt action table, a desert table, because my Italians in bolt action are, you know, desert Italians.
So you just chucked a cream coloured blanket over some books, yeah?
No, more than that. But I found a few. So that stuff comes from a different seller on eBay of scenery, and it's good quality. It's fine. I've also done a black powder table.
Nice.
But black powder tables really as far as I understand the game system, it's not a lot on it because you need a lot of open space. So, but I've done some Napoleonic stuff as that for that as well. I mean, it's a shame because if I could find someone who was making War Master scenery and good quality and used eBay, like
I would sell,
finished stuff. Yeah,
all right. I'm sure you'll find one.
If I could find someone, like, but I've not found anybody yet. I would obviously, I'd level up my tables that I currently have for that. Well,
there you go. Get
so I've been using my hobby money to buy scenery a lot recently. Honestly, Barry, some of this stuff looks so good, and I'm just like, oh, I can't wait to use it.
One day you'll see it in the flesh.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. One day.
Yep. Go on. That's my topic stuff.
Wow. Okay. Cool. Right. First up.
Boring.
I need to make a big apology. A normal apology.
Oh, you cheated, didn't you?
I what?
Well, you got. Is this the Beastman thing where you got it wrong?
What did I get wrong?
Didn't you get the army list wrong?
Well, I got my list wrong.
Yeah, exactly. Can't read your own rules, can you?
No, what do you mean? No, I mean that my army list was horse piss.
Yeah. Go on, explain what you've done wrong.
Well, I didn't write a list that was using... I just used my formula, basically. My list building formula. And tried to shoehorn Lee Beastmen into the Pitman tournament formula.
Yeah.
Instead of looking at the beauty that is a Beastman list and trying to encapsulate what they do and play the Beastman way.
So the first list, the actual list you submitted wasn't illegal?
It wasn't illegal. It was just not very good.
Oh, okay. Fair enough. Go on. Carry on.
So in the Beastman Army review, which was a couple of episodes ago or whatever, I gave a list. I was with the best of intentions and with to the best of my ability. But with hindsight, it was a load of shit. So I've now rewritten the list.
So why was it so bad?
Because I remember the people who own and love Beastman armies. Built lists that they got reasonable to good results with, and it looked nothing like the list I was trying to build.
Yep.
The list I was trying to build was, I was trying to build my, whatever the norm of my, well, the Lizardman list or the whatever, the High Elf list or whatever it is.
Barry Boring list, got it.
Barry Boring tournament list.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So what I've done is I've built a list that I think would be better and would suit the way Beastmen play better. And as penance, I'm going to use it in my online league this year.
There you go.
Which is going to sting, I'm telling you now. I hate this low-grade infantry that I'm
taking. So hang on, how many games is that going to be you're going to have to use this list in?
Six or seven,
right. Let's have a look at it then. So 8 Beast Herd. That's 4 more than you know would take. 4 Herdkin, are you forced? Yes, you are. Right. 4 Bestigors.
I can't. There's some lines you can't cross.
Wasn't your original list 8 Bestigors?
No. You can only sure? have 4.
No, but are you 4. Sure it wasn't 8?
No, I would have had 8.
All right. But... 8 Chaos Hounds. 8. Jesus.
Well, I'm still trying to win games.
4 Tuskor Chariots. A Beast Lord and a Wargore with the Sword of Fate. You need 5 points. 2 Brave Shamans. And there's your standard Ring of Magic, Scroll of Dispelling. Gotta have it. Can't ever leave it. Yeah,
break 14, that's quite high for me.
That is, 14. Yeah. So go on, how are you going to use this list?
So I am going to put in, probably, I could put 4 Beast Herd and 4 Herdkin into ambush. No, I can't. 3 and 3, can't I? Because I can do 6.
You need half your units that can ambush, which is 12, 6. You can't have more Herdkin than Beast Herd. Yeah, 3 and 3.
Three and three. So I'll put 3 and 3 in, and I'll try and get them into woods and harry people and annoy them.
That's the idea. Yep.
And then we got the remaining that we. How many is going to be left? 5 and 1. Well, that doesn't work too well. The 5 and 1. So we'll have a brigade of Beast Herd and a single Beast Herd with a Herdkin as a defensive unit. A brigade of Bestigors.
Well, their chances are there'll be some bit of scenery that you can stick them in on your table. Yeah.
And we got quite a lot of cavalry, but 8 of it as low grade. And then we got Ring of Magic because we've got a movement spell. We've got 3 proper people to order on Leadership 8 and Leadership 9 General.
There you go. So
that's quite a lot of command for me as well. I wouldn't normally go that mad. But And I'm going to try and win some games. And I'm going to try and see The only issue I've got is that I couldn't find a place for Chaos Spawn. I couldn't find a place for the Dragon Ogre. I couldn't find a place for the Centigores or the Minotaurs or the Dragon Ogres. Because you just can't. You just can't. Yep. If you're going to do this ambushing shenaniganry, that's the minimum you can put in, really.
Yep.
You should be really putting more than that in, I guess.
So this looks a lot more familiar to what I penned, isn't it?
Yeah. And I think it's quite a lot more similar to like the Rodders.
Yeah.
Kind of list. Although I think he might have pushed more than even 8 hounds. Because the thing of your hounds is, if you get them in the flank, they'll do severe work.
Exactly. They're cheap enough to risk a 2-order move instead of a 1. If you lose them, so what? You know, and they can hit it hard enough there, you know, because of the way the game plays. Yeah,
and I can lose all 12 units of cavalry and chariots and still not lose the game. So that's quite a lot to throw away.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it'll be interesting. And as penance, I am going to play them in the league.
That's cool. Fair enough.
We've got 2 European leagues and an American league, and I'm in European League 1.
I mean, it's very bad form to win your own league as you did the first time.
I'm not going to win with this, I don't think.
Well, you shouldn't do. You shouldn't have won the first time.
What was I using in the first one? I can't even remember. Oh, vampires.
Yeah.
Vampires. No, vampires are, they're not an easy army to play with, but they're a very strong army.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I would say. Hey, man. You seen those 10 millimeter ogres, man? I gotta get me some of those sweet ass 10 millimeter ogres, man. I could bother up, man. I'm jonesing.
Quit your jibber jabber, fool, and get yourself to blackgateminiatures.com. That's blackgateminiatures.com.
I've also been playing Vermintide 2. Did you play Vermintide 1?
I did, yeah. I've got it. Yeah.
Right. So firstly, I'm a little bit... It upsets me a little bit how near to the end times it is.
It's 5 minutes to midnight, isn't it?
Because I'm playing this game and I'm kind of thinking... I don't really like what happens after this game.
Yeah, but it's a computer game. Never mind. Go on.
Well, you know what I mean? It's like there's a meteor coming towards the Earth.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of watching the last 5 minutes. And I'm repeating the last 5 minutes before it hits. But it's like, I don't like what comes after this. So I'd rather it was set a bit further back and there was no end times.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. There is an end time. So anyway, Vermintide 2.
Yep.
I've been playing that with Nick and OG Phil.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize you were doing it as a co-op version.
Yeah,
that's cool. Yeah.
So we've been.
So what's your platform?
Steam.
Oh, so you're playing it a PC game.
Yeah, I think it was on deal. It was less than £6.
Yeah,
because it's Vermintide 2 because it was on some 75% off deal.
That's right. Yep.
Mm-hmm. And I've been playing it with a controller, and I started off using a soldier. You just got like halberd and some.
So, were you guys sticking to the same characters, or are you changing it up every time?
I think you can have. There are 5 different characters, and you have to kind of develop more than one because you can't. You can only have 1 copy of each character in the game.
Yeah.
So if you're playing a game and somebody's already using the soldier, whatever it is, you can't use him. You have to use someone else.
Yeah. Of course. Right.
So I started off with a soldier. And I was doing my best to get on with him. But then we played this elf. This fucking elf was just vaporizing everything. And I've been like bitching about, oh, I don't want to be the elf. Don't want to be the elf. And we were laughing. Wingers was meant to be our 4th player and he hasn't got around to it. And he was like, Wingers, you be the fucking elf. I'm not being the elf. And then I played a game as the elf.
And you loved it.
I was just completely sold. It's like, this is ridiculous. This is ridiculous. It's like... Why is it, whatever game they're in, they're just so hard to balance?
Yeah. Because if you have a creature that lives a long time and can learn, they obviously get good at what they do. That's the idea, isn't it?
Well, so do dwarves. They live a decent amount of time.
Well, they do, but compared to elves, like, you know, who are also naturally athletic and artistic, dwarves just spend their time like drinking, don't they?
So your elf, right?
Yeah,
so
go on.
Shooting in the game is really overpowered.
Yeah.
All shooting.
Yeah.
From our side. but it's limited by ammo. Like, so you'll have a witch hunter. He's got two pistols. He's got six shots in each, and then he's got to find ammo.
Yep.
So the elf, his effective range of his bow is twice as long as any other range weapon. Like, effective range is normally, it kind of tails off quite badly, but he's got double effective range.
Yep.
And he also has double ammo.
Okay.
Right. As an ability. So he has twice as much ammo. So he starts off, he's got a short bow. He's got like a reasonable amount of ammo. He's maybe got like 30 ammo. And then he's got long bow, he's got 40 ammo. So I find this thing called a swift bow. Which is like a machine gun bow.
Yeah.
Right. You can still like aim and charge it up and do single shots with like unbelievable accuracy with power.
Yeah.
Right. But it's got 100 shots.
Oh, okay.
And it probably, when you're on full automatic mode, it probably shoots a couple of shots a second.
What? How?
He's reloaded.
Right. It's like, how? Okay, go on.
The thing is, because of the mechanics of the game, it's kind of auto-aiming for you.
Yeah, of course. Or is that an option because that you can take off?
I've got no idea. I haven't turned it on. I can't see a way to turn it off. Yeah. And it's auto headshotting. It was like I was playing the soldier with Nick, and I got like maybe like 50, 60 kills, and Nick got 240 kills or something. And I was
Nick using?
Oh, he's got level 25 or 35 dwarf or something.
Right, okay.
It was quite an experienced dwarf, right?
Yeah.
So then I switched to the elf with this swift bow for my first few games, and I outkilled him. with like a level 2 elf outkilled his level 35.
Right, okay.
It was just like you just hold your finger down. You don't even have to repeat shit. And they're all like auto hedge.
That's done.
It's just like, and then once you've seen the dark side, it's like I can't go back.
I can't
go back to trying to individually shoot these people. Goddamn elves.
Right, okay.
So if you want to play, it's a fun game.
Yeah.
It's certainly a blast.
So I have a question, because obviously it's meant to have a melee feature a lot. So what is your experience of the melee side of the game system?
It's like button mashing madness, isn't it?
Yeah, is there a lot of skill? Is there like the delicacy of melee combat? Like blocking things?
No. But you have to block. If a chaos warrior is coming out with a two-handed axe and you don't block, it's going to knock. Your bell gets rung and you're kind of stumbling around.
Right. Okay. So are you timing your blocks, etc., or is it just you can just hold up blocks?
No. You have to time blocks and you have to time strikes as well.
Okay.
But I've picked weapons that are all about fast sweeping attacks and crowd control. So it's just like cutting heads off people and pushing them back.
Right, okay. Because I've always found in these, because I've played Vermintide, and I found that the melee side of it was very, like, understandably messy in terms of, you're bashing your buttons, you're attacking, and that's basically what it was. Like, you're attacking all the time, and you're getting hit, and if you've got enough health left, you see your way through it, because your attacks are stronger, etc. But it's very hard to replicate like the delicacies of like a melee combat in a computer game system, because it's all about the reactions, isn't it? In reality, the reactions that you can't possibly time that quickly. Like, there's no way. I'm sure when you get overrun by hordes of Skaven, don't you, in this game system?
They could release like 100 at a time.
Yeah, exactly. So there's no way your characters would survive that, because they would just get surrounded and cut at. Like by 5-6 different Skaven at once, and it's like you wouldn't be able to get
surrounded by 30 or 40 at once.
Well, I was just saying, and you'd be dead instantly. But like, obviously, it's a computer game, so like they need to make you heroes. I've always found your classic thing is like your Black Ops. So your the classic game system, Activision, Black Ops, Call of Duty. Call of Duty, Modern Warfare, that kind of thing. So brilliant shoot 'em up, does that fantastically, because most of the time, say you're using an automatic rifle, and whenever you need to go to melee, which isn't often, you just whip out a knife and it just does a stab, except like that's your last resort. you know, close in, you know, walked around a corner and bumped into a terrorist, kind of like quickly stabbed them. And that's fine. But in a game which is meant to be mostly about melee, no one's managed to code, I think, a decent representation of it. Aside from the example I'm going to give you of a game called Bushido, Bushido Blade. That's it. And it was I played this one on PlayStation 1, you know, so a while ago. And it's the only beat 'em up I've seen where it's like two characters that don't have a health bar. There's no health bar in it. It's feudal Japan. You're like a sort of, you know, a samurai. You've got your whatever weapon they've chosen. And if you land a good hit, you killed your opponent. You know, so like if you get hit to the head, dead. If you get a good bloody blow, dead. If you get a hit on the limb, your arm goes loose and you can't use that again. So you're like, go to one hand on your weapon, etc. And it's slow. Like the attacks are, you know, if the weapon's got a decent weight, like it takes, you know, it's slow to swing. It's basically, it was trying to be as pretty realistic.
Right.
And honestly, it was fantastic. It's like even though
probably playing against a computer though, rather than another person.
Oh, you could play against both. You know, could play against your opponent or you know, computer or opponent. It's just that it's and some of the bouts in this game and this one were hilariously short. Literally, like you've got both katanas, so like, and it's like fight. One of you just runges forward, and the other one didn't get out of the way or block or sidestep, dead. And you're literally talking like bouts that would last like 5 seconds, and it was like that was it. You're like,
yeah. Real life, I guess.
Well, yeah, exactly. But that's the point. It's like, and
I don't want to be playing real life. Do I want to be slaying thousands of rats?
Well, yeah, but as I say, you're like you. So what you're describing is they're two weapons, they're two ends of the spectrum, aren't they?
Yeah.
So what I'm describing is this trying to be this more realistic version,
and then die. By the first rat that stabs me.
Yeah, exactly. Which is reality, which is what would happen.
Or I die of the festering wound that I can't heal.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, carry
on.
Cheese
blight.
So you're enjoying Vermintide.
Well, you can die if you get hooked by a hook rat.
Hooked by a hook rat? What's a hook rat?
A pack master.
A pack master.
He's got like a rat catching.
A rat catcher. And he gets it.
He gets
it
around
your
neck and hangs you. And then you're dead.
You can put
you on a spike or an assassin, gutter runner, runs in, stab, 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 and you're dead.
Stab, stab, stab. Yep.
If you don't rescue your teammate by getting them off him, they're dead.
Yep. Do you rescue a teammate?
If you can get to them, you can't always get to them. If you get separated from the group and you get stab, 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 dead.
Yep. See, I'd play more in character. I'd be like, would my character really help you?
Nope.
So are you talking to each other while you're playing?
Yeah,
cool.
It's good fun. And the other thing, I was going to finish my character in Gloomhaven. I'm going to max it out.
Yeah.
So I've been playing since March.
Yep.
And Phil's internet crashed. We thought he'd borrowed your internet. It was so fucking bad on Saturday.
All right. Okay. But I fixed it now. Like I've got this, cable I should have always used. But yeah, go on.
So his internet crashed and robbed me of my, because the max level is 9. And I was like 10 XP away from level 9.
Yep.
So that's interesting. I don't know what happens then when you've maxed your character out. Because I can control when he retires and I don't want him to retire because I want to use the maximum level spells and abilities.
Right. Okay. Maybe you're not meant to complete it.
Well, I think it's gonna be a lot easier now. He's max level.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But I mean, it's taken God knows how many 30 evenings work to get there.
Okay. And so does that mean that you basically couldn't play Gloomhaven anymore because you've done it all already?
I don't know. But the character can't gain any more experience now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what that means for the actual game. You just go around, I guess, doing other things.
Side quests. Yep.
Killing your mates off or something. I don't know if you were Paul.
Yep, that's what I'd do.
That is what you do. Right, what else we got to talk about? Exporting and importing. Have you heard of this? This is a Brexit-y thing. I'm not actually sure how this is going to pan out because it's only becoming common knowledge today.
Oh, how expensive it is to get stuff from abroad.
Not abroad, from Europe.
From Europe.
for us to buy from Europe or for Europe to buy from us.
Yeah.
Either way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's turning out that if you spend more than a not very large amount of money, your customs and VAT charges can be quite sizable, unfortunately.
And is that because we didn't get a good deal? Is that right?
If you listen to them, apparently we have got a good deal and Europe have got a good deal. But I think the problem is that maybe they didn't think this through properly.
That doesn't surprise me.
So it's kind of down. I think what the gist of it is, say you bought something in Germany.
Yeah.
So you've got to pay VAT in Germany at whatever rate it is.
Yes.
And then potentially you've got to pay VAT in the UK.
Yep.
You've got to pay a customs charge in the UK.
Yep.
You've got to pay a custom charge handling fee.
Yep.
In the UK. And that can add up quite quickly. So yep. Some of the stories of like people who spent £200 have ended up getting charged £80.
Yeah. And no, but is that a flat 80 for anything, or is it is proportioned to the price they're buying?
So I think it works out somewhere of getting towards 40%.
Oh dear.
Plus the admin fee.
Yeah.
And one of the net effects of this is people are refusing to receive the goods.
Yeah. Yeah.
So then what happens is the goods have to be returned to the country they were sent. And then all the VAT and customs fees become liable on the way back.
Yeah.
And then rather than pay to get them repatriated, people are talking about just burning the goods.
Just burning the goods?
Yeah.
Right, okay.
So rather than getting... So say, for example, Blackgate Miniatures ships something to Germany.
Yes, yes.
And yep. I sell it for whatever price it is on my website. Yep. And yep. I charge... There's no VAT because I'm not VAT registered. So... It is what it is. The price is the price. Now, it arrives in Germany. I send it the normal way. I send it free post or whatever. And then when in Germany, when they deliver it, they say, oh, there's £50 due or €50 due.
Yep.
And they say,
well,
I'm not paying €50. So then it gets returned to me.
Yep.
But then apparently the fees then come on the way back because, bizarre.
Right, okay.
Some handling charges come on the way back. And that handling charge is so large that people are abandoning their goods rather than trying to repatriate them.
So hang on. So it would come back to you, and what you would need to pay to get your product back again.
Yeah.
Right. But you haven't earned anything from the sale of that product.
No. And you've paid the postage on the way out.
Wow. So what are you going to do?
I've got no idea, because the problem is at the moment is you can't quantify what the costs will be, because the costs aren't yours. The costs are the consumers.
Right. Okay.
So there's no way as a retailer at the moment, I can say, Paul, you live in Berlin.
Yeah. You can't sell to me.
No, I can sell it to you, but I don't know if you're going to be charged, and I don't know what you're going to be charged.
Right. Okay. So what are you doing? Are you just entering an agreement where they won't come back to you?
I don't know. I mean, it has been remarkably quiet. A, because January is quiet. And B, because I was expecting Brexit, obviously, to cause some little issues.
Yeah, totally.
So I can't even believe I'm saying this, but it may be in the shortish term, I just say I can't ship to Europe.
Can't ship to Europe, yeah.
Until whatever it is gets sorted, and then we know what the trading agreement is.
Because
it's like, I can't sell you something because I don't know how much it's going to cost you.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
And if you return it, that just fucks me.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, dear.
It's bizarre. It's So you'll hear over this weekend, people will start saying, and government ministers will try and find a way to say, well, just teething problems. But I haven't heard anybody come up with any kind of solution.
Yeah, I say, what's the solution? Yeah. Oh, dear.
So I mean... It may be you have to start buying in the UK and European people have to not buy in the UK.
Well, I say, 40% is a massive, markup, isn't it? Off a product. If here's the product is this much, but it's going to cost you 40% more.
Plus admin. Yeah.
So let's go with 40%. That's a significant increase, isn't it?
Well, so if you spend £200 on I buy quite a lot of musicals, instruments and stuff from Germany. So from a website called Tommen or something. So if I spend £200 there,
what do you do with the instruments?
I've got like a music studio in the loft.
You playing music?
Well, it's only a hobby.
Right, anyway, so right.
I'm short of hobbies.
Go on.
So I spend €200 on a synth, and I don't know how much I'm going to pay when it gets here. Yeah. So this? I can't buy. I can't do it. I can't pay that money, because if it was just €200, I'd buy it, but I can't see. It could be 200, could be 300, could be anything.
Yeah, yeah.
So it only started to come out this week. So I think over the weekend, I might just take European sales off, just so I can't ship at the moment.
Well, to be honest, you're going to have to, aren't you? Yeah. I mean,
I can still ship to the UK. I can still ship to America and Australia.
Because that's set, is it? Oh, no, yes. It's not yet.
No, it is set because...
I'm being silly there.
You're actually right. I'm not sure. I'll have to look into those, because America's a bit of an odd case at the moment because of their postal services in bits.
Yeah, yeah, well, yeah, exactly. Okay, cool. Right.
But it'll only be when you order something.
Yeah.
And then at least you're forewarned now that there is something running.
So I got an example for it. So say I'm trying to find a range of bases to put some Moria goblins on. If I buy some bases from Skibel Miniatures, which are Polish, I might have to end up paying more when they arrive.
Well, there are like different levels of spend. So I think under £30 kind of level, it's like trivial.
Oh, okay. Right. Okay.
And then, so after £30, you pay VAT.
Yep.
And then maybe at £100, you pay customs and VAT.
Oh, okay. Right. So small.
So once it gets over kind of, which isn't a lot, £30, to be fair.
No, it's not.
Mm-hmm. Not mean when you're seeing that GW are selling one model for 105.
Well, no, exactly. But you might end up breaking orders down into like to be below that level, mightn't you?
Yeah, it's funny. So the only bit of information I saw from our government was, why don't you consider setting up distribution networks within the EU?
Right.
Well, that sounds cheap.
Yeah.
Well, so I'll just Seth, move my warehouse to the EU then, shall I?
Is that what they're telling you to do? Right.
Set up a distribution warehouse in the EU.
Okay. What a mess up. Yep.
Yeah. What a mess up. Anyway, so what else have we got to talk about? 3D printing.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a couple of little bits to show you. Let's see if we can get those up. Right. So what have we got to show? We'll share. I'll do this one first. Right. I'll get over the other side. Technology. Share screen. Right. Have you seen these fellows?
Oh, yeah, you showed me earlier. But yeah, so this is a church. It looks like
call it a church.
It looks like a fucking cathedral to me. But like, so it's a church from Cromarty Forge.
Is that showing the second one? Come on. Right. So
what else you got coming up?
Well, I've got to show the proper bit. I'm going to have to edit that out because that picture's not very easy to see. I want to show this picture. God damn.
Yeah, damn it.
It's easy with two screens. Like this one here. Can you see
perfect.
It?
Perfect. Yeah, perfect, perfect.
Right, okay. So, it took more than 50 hours to paint this monster.
To print it.
Three bits. Print this monster.
So is it solid resin?
No, it's hollow.
Hollow, right, okay.
Mm-hmm. Hollow resin, but holy moly, it's big. I mean, if you look at 10 mil, that probably is the scale of a giant cathedral in 10 mil.
Yeah.
But kind of Warmaster terrain's a bit abstracted. I've seen like whole castles and stuff that aren't this big.
Yeah, I mean, A, it's very nice bit of scenery, obviously. B, it's massive. And C, there's some nice Yetis you've got in front there. Thanks very much, Paul. You're like, Warmaster, it's like scenery for Warmaster. Never has to be. It doesn't have to be 10 mil scale scenery, like because the base, remember, is abstract in the first place. It's hundreds of men, isn't it? So scenery should only ever. I mean, really, scenery. It looks better when it's in scale, obviously, and people tend to buy it, think of that as in the game is a 10 mil scale war game. Well, yes, it is, but no, it isn't, because it's like it's 10 mil scale models, but they are representative of a lot more. So really, scenery should be, you know, like a town is like that base profile that that church would take on the table is actually a village, isn't it, or a town? And but then it's hard to model.
Yeah, so I think there is a massive abstraction in that you look here, like what's that, 10 little 8 greenlings or 3? It's not 8 greenlings in reality. That's hundreds of greenlings.
That's hundreds of greenlings. Yeah,
hundreds of greenlings.
Yeah.
So, firstly, I'm going to use this as a very small chapel in my Normandy bolt action table.
Yeah.
Ignore the fact that the doorknob's quite low down.
Yeah, it's small.
A 28 millimeter man will get through that door easily.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
And I've seen really small chapels in the UK. We've got one in Frinton. It's like tiny. No bigger than a house, really.
Frinton?
Frinton. We've got a beach hut there. Yeah, it's nice.
Beach hut in Frinton?
We do.
Frinton.
We do. So,
lally doody da. You should be in Bridgerton.
I'll tell you what, we had to pay all the fees on the beach hut last year. We didn't use it once.
Good. Yeah. That's right.
That's
keep
right.
Keep the riffraff out.
Keep the riffraff out. So I'm going to use that in my Normandy table. But what I am going to do, I'm going to print one at maybe a third of the size, and I'm going to use that in Warmaster.
Well, that's probably right. Yeah, I think.
Yeah, because I think the stuff he designs is absolutely unbelievable.
Yeah.
Like the level of detail on this is just bonkers. Even inside, because I've glued it all together now, that he's even made like the floor of the chapel kind of all tiled and lovely.
Oh wow! Oh, okay. So it was like had a removable roof there. Or
yeah, it was in three segments: a roof and then the main bit and the base. And that
I see. All right, fair enough.
An incredible piece of kit, and my biggest print by miles, like 50 odd hours.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that would, yeah.
My German grenadiers will enjoy like shooting out of that. You know, like
you can't go in it because it's locked.
Setting up an MG nest in there and just gunning you down.
It's locked. Like, you're not getting in it. Right. And then one other thing. What have we got coming in? One other thing that 3D printing has allowed me to do, this other one, is you can set up a webcam on it and record it while it's working, and because you have to check on it because prints are long, so if you've got like a 20-30 hour print, if it goes wrong you need to know.
Yeah, okay.
Rather than so I've got it on my phone, so I can use my phone to look at my
I'm just checking in on the baby. I mean 3D printer. And you're like,
and you can record it. So I recorded a little bit of video of this is making the Memoir 44 bases.
Okay. Right.
And it just chugs away like that all night long. All night, ding, 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 ding. It's quite quiet.
Is it the last thing you look at night and the first thing you look at in the morning? It is, isn't it? First thing you do, it's just like, she's got to check on the baby.
I've got it on my little camera here, and you can kind of, you can see the live feed.
Well, obviously.
I don't know if you can see the live feed. There it is.
I can see it. Yeah, yeah. Oh, great. I mean, I'm glad it's working, Barry.
You've got your baby monitor. I've got my IP webcam to check on my baby.
Check on my printer. But so, like, if it was breaking, what would you do? Like, get out of bed and fix it?
I don't check it in bed.
Yes, you do.
I check it in the morning, and I check in at night, during the day.
Yep,
I used to have to keep going up and down the two flights of stairs to check on it, but obviously it's a fat, lazy bastard. You've got to find
a way around solution. That. Yeah.
So get an IP webcam,
You just get one of your kids to live up there and just like they can like get on a walkie-talkie and be like, fix it now.
Get in there and fix it.
Get your little fingers in there. Like,
and the other thing, Cromarty Forge, you're doing another range. I don't know if you've seen.
Lizardman, is that right?
I think the Lizardman and something else, but I can't remember what the other thing is. Is it like Toon King's Lizardman or something bizarre? But because he always does like a split range.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
The main bit is the Lizardman for me, obviously. Mm-hmm. But there is something else coming. And he's going to come on maybe next week or the week after if we're doing Demons and discuss said Kickstarter.
Sweet. Mm-hmm. Cool. Sweet.
And then the final thing in the world of... We're not turning into the 3D printing podcast. I do have a different YouTube set of videos for that.
Yep.
But we have to share this one here because we have to have a look at what's coming in the Old Forest Dragon.
Yeah, here we go.
So we have got, we've already talked about the Blood Knights last time, didn't we? Or whatever they're called.
Yes,
we did. As I said before,
they look cool.
They do look cool, and there are dragon princes in the game. So
yes, they are.
Whatever. They're just the same as the skeleton cavalry, whatever they're called. What are the skeleton cavalry?
Black Knights.
So here it looks like we've got, are these Grail Knights or regular Knights? Because they're quite fancy.
If what's on their shield, if you can, yeah.
It's like a stag. Well, they're all different.
Then there'll be Knights of the Realm.
Knights of the Realm.
Yep.
Hey, look, he's got a stag on his head here. He's got a bit of that.
Yeah, there'll be Knights of the Realm.
Like, do they really have stags on their helmets?
Probably not. No.
They do look cool.
Yeah, and they're great. I mean, but we're here. It's you know, they can't be that dynamic. They're heavily armored knights. You know, they look fine. Obviously, they look really good. But it would be hard to get them to stand out, I think, in this case, isn't it? It's like, you know, he did better starting off with wood elves, didn't he? Like here, it's like they, you know, the black. But honestly, I think those vampire knights look fantastic. Yeah.
Again, they're heavily armored. They're nice,
look at the axe on the guy, the champion on the left.
This fella here.
Yeah. Look at that. It's like, I'm going to hit you with this axe. Like, and it's going to hurt. Like, it's like, all right.
But you can see here, something we haven't talked about much on the show is that you can see that this is sculpted for 10 mil because if you look at the lances and stuff, they're way thicker. If you scaled that up, those lances would be huge in 28 mil.
Yeah, exactly. But he's designed for 10.
Like telegraph poles.
Yeah, exactly.
If they get too small, they're not stable. They just break
exactly
off.
There has to be practicality in the model, don't there?
Which is something I'm for my bolt action. I'm trying to get a bazooka for my American Airborne, but I found a bazooka STL. But when you shrink it down to 28 mil, it's too small.
Yeah.
So I'm going to have to cheat and kind of make it bulkier, make it non-real to work because it just won't work otherwise.
Is there not a bazooka in like a kit set with the models?
There is, but it's out of stock.
Oh, okay. Right.
And and it doesn't really fit with the rest of them, but and it's out of stock. So I guess this is an enchantress who's floating. Look, very nice.
Oh, I didn't notice that she was floating. Oh, yeah.
And we got some.
I just thought the sword looked really big compared to her, but I guess she's like blessing it or something, isn't she? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. Mm-hmm. And we have Black Knights. We've seen those. Different banners.
Yeah.
So you got two banners and then a free. Yeah, so it's very nice. Mm-hmm. Got to see those. And these are the Knights of the Realm.
Knights of the Realm. Mm-hmm. So they'll be the most common unit in the army. Yeah. People will need a lot of them.
Well, not that many. Janus took what? Two?
Yeah, but
was it
no,
three? Two
that's,
or three?
That's a build you can do. It's not the right build.
How many did he have? Was it three?
Three.
Three of these and nothing else.
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. Wasn't the right build though.
Yeah.
Oh, hang on. Go back again.
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering if that was a battle pilgrim. No, it's just another knight, isn't it? And I'm like, yeah, cool.
Mm-hmm. Oh, hang on. That's quite nice, isn't it? The crescent moons there. That's nice. And the dragon there. Or lion or whatever
fit in a fleur-de-lis somewhere.
And then we have some
people haven't liked the look of these ones, but how else could you make them really? I think they're fine to me.
I mean peasants really are very generic, aren't they? They're not going to have any uniform.
No, god no.
And they're not going to have any, they're going to have makeshift weapons.
Yep.
I mean, yeah, they do look maybe a little bit similar to some of the other infantry that he's done. But this woman here's got a rolling pin. I don't know if you've seen that.
Which one?
Row, five, four from the right.
Oh, yeah. She's got a rolling pin. Eat it. That one up there's got a frying pan.
And I don't know what she's got in her other hand. That can't be a bosom. That must be something, a frying pan. And what? Oh, it's a ladle, isn't it? A frying pan and a ladle.
And in the command squad, or I guess the top left, there's a guy with a fancy hat.
Yeah.
He thinks he's the town mayor.
Yeah. He is a time man, isn't he? He is a time man.
It's like, yeah, check me out. I've got my hat. I've come to war.
I mean, I'm not sure they would actually have command. But they've got Rag. He's got a rag here, and he's got a shield on a. Yeah.
They'd be better off with being led by a knight. Yeah,
I like it.
Their command would have been a knight. Yeah,
I think possibly. I don't know how to put this kind of elegantly. I think one of the hardest things to do with 3D sculpting, and it's one of the reasons I didn't go for it. Three years ago or whenever it was, because it was around even back then. Because Steamforge were doing their stuff and it was all 3D sculpted by Russ. And it was definitely a thing, 3D sculpting. Yep. It's difficult to moderate the temptation to repeat sculpts.
Yeah.
Because
it's there.
Yeah, I think when you first start out, you're keen and you've got unlimited time and resources and mental stamina. So yep. You'd maybe here there are what, 6 for strip and there are 7 strips, 42.
Yep.
There are 40. You might have even sculpted 42 individual sculpts.
Yep.
But as things progress, you kind of, you just can't do that. You don't have the time, the energy. So
yeah, exactly. Like if you start
cutting corners a little bit.
Yeah, because if you look at the weapons these guys are holding, like there's obviously a scythe, you know, model, and that's been reversed. You know, there's a pitchfork.
And his face has been changed, and his head swapped.
No,
his legs.
No, I'm not just saying. Yeah, I'm just looking at the weapons, for example. Now, because obviously the concept is they're peasants, aren't they? They can be carrying anything or nothing. Yeah. Like, they're not going to have gone to the local armory and, like, got out their weapons. So most of them are farm equipment. In fact, that guy there, so middle row, left side, he looks exactly like the zombie out of Hero Quest. So the fourth one on the left.
With the two-handed,
yeah, the two-handed like meat cleaver. He looks exactly like the zombie in Hero Quest. But you've got to get an idea, get an influence from something. You know, so their weapons are repeated, but why not? It's like, yeah.
So basically, what you used to do with metal miniatures is you used to make a dolly, which was the torso and sometimes bits of legs and arms and stuff. And then you get that cast over and over and over in metal, and then you just, you kind of convert it by giving it different arms, different weapons, different heads. And that's all that's happening here. It's like some of the bodies are repeated, some of the weapons are repeated, they're sometimes reversed, some of the heads are swapped around. But on the table, these are 10 mil miniatures.
Yeah. Yeah,
you fine. Ain't going to see any of this stuff.
Yeah. Like they should be mostly wearing like cheap cloth, brown and stuff. Like they'll just be a mob of peasants.
So like, if they were individual 30 millimeter sculpts, then maybe you could get a bit. But the way they appear on the table, I mean, look, can we go? Oh, I don't know if we can go back to. Let's see if we can go back to share the. He's gone. I was going to go share my greenlings.
Mm-hmm.
That you can't even see them.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
You can't see the greenling. Oh, here it is. Look, you can't see them.
Yeah, they're just green blobs, aren't they?
And they're like 6 mil. So you're going to see more of this than that, but you're not going to see like a giant amount.
No.
So I think people sometimes get a bit overly stressed that, yes, obviously as he gets more experience or they get more experience, they're going to not cut corners. That's not the right word. They're going to use techniques that kind of maximize the bang for the buck. The 80-20 rule. They're going to get as much impact as they can for a reasonable amount of effort.
Yeah,
not minimal effort, but a reasonable amount of effort.
There's nothing wrong with that. Like, is it anybody who like gives it more than 2 seconds thought, exactly, would it's what you would do, isn't it? He's got a design of a human, and then it's like he's going to then play around with that design of the human.
And exactly right. And you may put different armor on the body or different clothes or different weapons or whatever it is, because you may find some of these poses reappear later with different armor on them or whatever.
Yeah. Or he's reskinned zombies. Like,
whatever it is. I don't know.
Yeah.
But
Mm-hmm.
But on the table, they are going to look pretty cool, I think.
Yeah, exactly. Like, so say he skips forward and does Empire, then these could be flagellants, couldn't they?
Well, maybe they're a bit crazier looking than these. These are a bit tame for flagellants.
Well, yeah, but by replacing out a few of the people with the frying pans and put more crazier monks looking in, then they're flagellants.
I think the woman with the rolling pin looks the most flagellantish.
All right, okay.
Just giving it some.
My point is, he could adapt this unit to be flagellants.
Okay. Yeah. So there we go. One of these a bit close up, so you can break them up. One of the
he's got Friar Tuck.
One of the other things that I think is under talked about is that you get provided with STLs of each model separately. And this that happens with Cromarty Forge as well. So if you want to do like Friar Tuck here in 28 mil, you just print him individually and scale him up.
I didn't realize you got them individually. I thought they were always on strips.
No.
Wow.
Because when he sculpts them, he's doing them individually and then putting them on strips. Yeah. So then he provides them. Both of them provide them separately as well. I've got files of them separately. Wow. So, I mean, you've got to be careful because some of the weapons are going to look extraordinarily big in 28 mil because of the way the different scale works. So, but that's just another thing you get for free.
Wow.
So if you wanted I wanted to do some Robin Hood thing, I could use these fellas, could I? As peasants. Scale them up to 28 mil. You've already got your army there.
There you go. Boom. Yeah, exactly. Boom.
Print it off. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I haven't done which 28 mil printing of resin, but we'll see. But maybe one day.
Yep.
So these fellas, what's it, about a tenner a month?
Mm-hmm. Can't complain, can you?
Tenner a month. If you've got a printer, and if you want to learn a bit more about the printer, and I'm going to try and do some more videos tomorrow. I've got tons to catch up with. You could watch the series on 3D printing. The resin stuff isn't without its issues, and the number of people I've seen who got a printer at Christmas and posted up that they've fucking chucked it in the bin, or they want rid of it, or
they've tried to
return it. Because how most things work is like you buy something, you plug it in, it works. That's it. Well, this is nothing like that.
Yeah.
Resin printing is nothing like that.
This is an art form.
Well, it's not an art form. It's just you have to be someone who's willing to read instruction books.
Yep.
Watch instructional videos. You can't wing it. You can't just plug it in and hope it works. That ain't happening.
Yeah.
So it's not for everybody. Maybe Apple will make one day.
Yep.
It'll cost a fucking fortune. The resin will cost a fucking fortune, but it will just work.
Yeah, it'll work. Exactly. Yeah, and that'll be the one I buy.
And you just say, "What is it called? What's his name? Siri or something?"
Siri. What the?
The Apple.
Siri. Hey Siri.
Hey Siri, print me fucking 300 Grail Knights.
You just turned on my phone.
It's always listening.
Yeah.
You worry about China. It's always listening.
Hey Siri, kill Barry.
So there you go. One day Siri will make a phone.
Yeah.
Walking up again there.
Yeah.
Right. What else we got? We've done that. I think we're done. So we're going to do the demon thing now. Next.
Yeah. Yep. Cool. And we can we can save any Paul's world, Barry's world. We can go straight into it.
Okay, right. So we better say goodbye then.
Yes.
So this was a War Master podcast. We did talk a little bit of War Master.
Yeah, we did. Yeah.
And we didn't talk about anything else. Well, not much. So that's good.
Yep.
And that was episode 154.
Thank you very much, listeners.
As yet untitled episode.
Yep. We'll leave it. That is the title. As yet untitled.
As yet untitled. Mm-hmm. Right. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Would you like to know more?